Dr. Marshall.
Yes.
We have a friend who's helping us a great deal with this work. His name is Ben Hutton. We hope to bring him along, not at our regular sitting, but in between the sitting, sort of. And will it be all right? We can recommend him. Very sincere.
Anyone that you recommend, of course, is all right. You should know your friends, and you should know of their genuine interest. Of course, by all means, bring your friend. We should be delighted.
Yeah, he wanted us to ask you first, Dr. Marsh, before he came. He didn't want to upset any progress.
Oh, it's a joy to have the opportunity of someone who's sincere as yourselves. We should be delighted.
Thank you very much. He wouldn't come without you. We gave him the verification that he could come.
Good. I'm so happy about that.
Yes.
We do everything we can.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Marshall, very much. How are you?
I'm very well, of course. Yes. Thank you for asking, although in a sense, you can well imagine we're very well over here. It'd be very odd if we weren't.
Yes.
Won't be much point in dying if it's going to be worse than the earth.
No.
Or as bad.
Yes, quite.
No one need fear dying. It's great relief.
Yes.
Get out of the turmoil and the strife and the unsettled atmosphere of your world is a great joy.
Yes.
Anyway, just hold on, please.
Thank you, Dr. Marshall.
I'll be sure you can hear now without seeing to you.
Yes, you can.
Very well indeed.
I've heard about you.
Have you?
You're Mr. Woods.
Yes.
And you're Mr. Screen.
That's right. Yes.
How do you do?
You do. You're Scotch, aren't you?
How did you know that?
Excellent.
I'm not even aware that I'm a Screen accent. Must be this Scotch thing here. You know Scott yourself? You don't look Scott. You don't sound so Scott. You know that Scott really, are you now?
All my father's people are Scott.
Huh? And your mother's side of the family. How long have you left Scotland? It must be many years. I thought as much, probably. You know, got an accent at all. And you're Mr. Green. Mr. Woods, I mean.
Yeah.
That's a strange combination. Woods and Green.
I am really.
I didn't mean you just to say, but the names.
Oh, yes, we did have these school together.
We do, because my mother was Irish. My grandmother was Irish. My father was Irish. My father was King of Scotch.
Quite an interesting combination.
Yes, my dear.
No wonder you're a strange man.
I am.
I'm teasing.
Are you going to give us a nice talk?
I'm not quite sure.
Oh, yes.
I'm not really a talker myself, not from the point of view that some of the people that come to you now are very much more experienced with that sort of thing than me. I've been here now quite a number of years, and I've no regrets, and I would not want to come back until you still arrive to live.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a nice way to be able to come here like that. No one needs fear of dying now, which is a wonderful thing.
Can you give us your name, friend?
My name is Mary.
Mary?
Mary Ivan.
Mary Ivan?
Aye, it's not a real Scot name, that.
Yes.
It's not a real Scottish name.
Can you, where did you live?
I had a son, Ian. He's here with me now, and makes me very happy.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my husband many years ago. I say lost, but I found him over here, of course. So I couldn't have lost him, could I? But he died when I was a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
I was only about 27.
Mm-hmm.
And the wee bairn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I met him over here when I died. He met me. And my son, too. He died quite young.
Where did you live, Mary, in Scotland?
I lived in several places, actually. I was always moving around in my early years. I lived at one time just outside Glasgow, and another time, for a number of years, I lived in Dundee.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going back a long time. It's going back to about 1890 now.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good many years. I was in service when I was a wee one for many years. I come from poor family.
Mary, can you tell us something about, you know, how you passed over? Were you bewildered when you passed over?
Oh, I was a wee bit, but somehow, I don't know. I mean, it was my religious background. I was very religious as a girl. Maybe it didn't frighten me. I was ill and I suppose I was glad to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was no different in a way to what I expected, although I suppose I had got orthodox ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow it all seemed so natural. I think that's the wonderful part about it. When you come over here, everything's so natural. People expect all sorts of things if they expect anything at all. You know, sort of strange or religious in a kind of way, but it's not, it's just as if you're, well, it's like waking up and finding yourself in another country, but it's not exactly strange because you're surrounded by people that you've known, people that have been very close and very dear to you.
Mm.
My mama was here, she was a sweet soul. She lived to be quite a good age, but you know, she was a very religious woman too. She died only a year before me.
But Mary, how did you find yourself? What sort of condition?
I woke up and found myself in a kind of place like a hospital.
Okay.
I thought, well, what's this? Because I was in my own house and, you know, I was sick of bed and everything, and I had a sister who was looking after me. And I remember waking up here and I was like a kind of ward place from the hospital. But very nice and very clean, and everything seems so fresh and airy, and everyone seemed to be so efficient and quiet and peace, and the sun, whatever it was, at least I thought it was the sun then, was shining through the windows now, and everywhere around was pretty and clean, and there were pictures hanging on the walls, and somehow it seemed like a very special kind of hospital. And I thought, well, this is strange. And then a very sweet woman came to me. She said, you know, she said, you just have to rest a little while and then you'll soon be all right. Why don't you sort yourself out and get to know things? And your people will be coming in to see you in a wee while. And I thought, this is strange. I'm not sure I was at home in my own bed and here I am in a hospital, so I must have been unconscious and they must have brought me into hospital. I did not think at first that I was dead. And then I could see after a wee while other souls lying around, and there was a sweet little lass next to me in the bed, a little blonde child, pretty child she was, and she was sitting up there and she was chaffing away, and then she showed me one or two things that she had, a dolly and some books and things, and she said, isn't it nice being here? She said, I'm so happy. I said, aye, it's very nice, but what's wrong with you? She said, oh, I've got diphtheria. I said, well, you don't look like as if you've got diphtheria. It was fresh as the daisy, and your cheeks and everything are bright and cheerful, you know. I couldn't think there's anything wrong with a wee lassie. And I said, well, how long have you been here? She says, oh, we've just come. She says, I'm very happy, though. I said, I can see that. Anyway, then I saw my sister coming towards me, and I was so surprised because, you know, I had this sister and she died very young. When I was about 12, we called her Kate. I thought, this is strange. Kate's not here. Kate's dead. And there she was, and she came to me and she got a great big bunch of flowers in her arms. Beautiful flowers. They were fresh flowers with a dew on. And she says, here, I brought you this, and we're so glad that you've come. And she says, Mother's coming soon, and also Pa. I says, no. I said, that's not possible. And I said, in any case, how are you getting in here? You know, here, you're dead. She says, oh, don't be silly. She says, I'm dead all right. And so are you? I says, what do you mean I'm dead? She says, you're dead. I says, no, it's not possible. I said, I'm very much alive. I'm in hospital. But how did you get in? Did anyone see you come through the door? She said, ah, they all saw me come through the door because they're all dead that are here. I said, I don't get this at all. And the wee little one, she sat looking at me in the next bed. And she says, aye. She says, is that right? Are we dead? And the lady, she said, She really did too. So I said, well, she's my sister and she's dead. And if she's dead, then we must be dead, but we're alive. I said, I don't understand this. So my sister said, we'll come to fetch you. I said, what do you mean, fetch me? You had to get permission from the hospital for me to leave the bed. But I must say, I feel so well. I never felt so good in my life. She said, of course you're all right. There's nothing wrong with you at all. Only in your mind. Get that out of your mind. You're no sick. Anyway, she says, I see the lady that's in charge of this ward. Anyway, after a while, there's a confab went on between them, and I was allowed to get up. And I said, well, what about my clothes? And my sister laughed. She says, Zuma, what about those? You got them on? I says, what you mean I got them on? And I looked at myself, and there I was dressed. I couldn't have get this at all, because I did not remember putting any clothes on, and I did not remember bringing any clothes. And there I was, standing beside the bed, in a beautiful gown. It was a pale blue and long with a sash and lots of little lace things around the neck. I thought, well, I don't know, I don't understand this at all. And my hair was all combed and nice. And my sister laughed and she said, that's all right, I helped you to dress, but you didn't know that. She said, I helped to do your hair too by my thoughts. I said, well, how'd you do that? I said, do you think I'll be able to do things by thoughts? So she said, yes, of course you will. Take a little time to get accustomed to it. But once you realise that by your thoughts you can achieve all the things that you want to do. I said, I don't understand. She said, that's all right. You remember when I was a wee lassie and I used to strum on the piano and I always wanted to play and I used to get bad tempered and stamp and all the rest of it because my fingers wouldn't do the right things. She says, now I can play beautifully and I do it now by concentration and because I want to do it. And because the power makes it possible for me to do it. I said, do you think that's so? She said, aye, she says, that's so. Anyway, she says, come, she says, we'll go now. And we'll go and see Mama and the others. I said, but I thought you said Mama was coming. So she says, she'll probably be downstairs. I thought, well, I don't understand. This all seems so strange. And we went down a beautiful staircase. And it was such a little bead of marble. It was beautiful. And there were all sorts of interesting people walking about, and all looking so fit and well and healthy. And everywhere there seemed to be, I don't know, as if the whole place had been so well cared for. It was so clean.
Oh, no, it's a lot interesting.
And we went down the steps and out this sort of portico, or whatever you call it, down some more steps into a beautiful garden. And it was as if, I don't know, I've never been to these posh places because I never was able to do that sort of thing. But I'm told it's not unlike you see in France in some of these beautiful gardens that they have with the fountains playing. And there are all sorts of people, children too, running and playing. And there were grown-ups, of course. And there were, everyone seemed to be fitting well. And then I thought, how odd. None of these people seem out of place, and yet I feel so out of place. I suppose they've been here a long time, I said to my sister. She said, no, only just the last few days as you've turned time, and they're just becoming acclimatized to everything, and they're waiting for their friends, they're waiting for their relations. This is what we call a reception place, where people come quite often, not all, but quite a lot of people, until they're sort of acclimatized to the new conditions of life and their friends begin to arrive and then they come and eventually they go away. Usually they go to live with their wife or their husband or perhaps their mother and father if they were married. Or at least the people that they love most, they are the ones that invariably wait in the garden and wait for them to come out because then they know that they've awakened. Of course, usually someone like myself, in your case, goes in to break the ice, as you might say, you know. Oh, it's very wonderful. You know, no one need fear dying because it's the most wonderful thing. It's the most exciting thing that could ever happen to anyone. No one need ever worry about it. Everything here is so real, so natural. Everyone is so, I don't know, full of love. And there's no hatred, no sort of intolerance, and everyone's so patient, especially with those who are new and fresh, and everyone wants to help. It's a wonderful way of life.
Did you meet
eventually I did. Yes, and eventually I went to live with my mother, and eventually after that my husband.
And how did you meet John Husband? How did you sort of...
Well, he was a wee. This may sound odd, but he was a wee, and he was doing some special work, I found out afterwards. But it was to do with some war that was going on somewhere in Africa, South Africa or something like that, I think. And he was helping the wounded and the dying. And anyway, when he was free, he came to my mother's place, and then eventually we lived in his house, which was a pretty wee place, a very small but very nice, and it's the sort of house that we'd often talked about that we would have liked, you know, a little old-fashioned place with beams and rafters and a pretty little garden. And he was evidently very keen on gardening, not that he did on earth, because it wasn't possible and we hadn't got a garden, but here he became very interested in Kansas flowers. But you know, he'd been doing this work, helping these soldiers in the South African war, which I suppose I'd been ill for some months, and I may have vaguely heard about this war, but I had no recollection of it until he told me that this dreadful business had been going on. Of course, since then there's been worse wars, and he's been doing a lot of rescue work, and I've also been doing nothing. I've been helping souls latter years in what you call, or we call, the reception stations, as I told you. Yeah. And I find it very interesting work. I meet all sorts of interesting people, and I'm able to talk to them and help them to sort of adjust themselves to a new way of life and the new thoughts. It's very essential that people should eradicate all the old ideas and thoughts, you know, and become more and more, as it were, adjusted and more tuned to a different way of life and a different vibration and condition of life. It's all very interesting, you know. However, I would hate to be in a place where there was nothing to do. Oh, I presume, I don't know, but I presume that's where people came to collect her revenge. But she'd evidently only been held a deity. But evidently there's a reason why she had to stay a little while. There always is, of course.
How did your son get on, Mary?
Oh, he got on very well indeed, and I see him quite a lot.
What did your world like, Mary?
Oh, what a question. What a question. It's so varied that really you could not depict and describe much of it in a material language, because there's no words that could possibly describe or depict it. If one can see that it's in some respects not unlike Earth at its most beautiful, without all the things that cause one petty irritation and annoyance, without all the stupid things that people do to spoil it, here everything is beautiful because people think beautiful thoughts. And in a strange kind of way, those beautiful thoughts help the atmosphere. It's so rarefied and pure and beautiful, and the light is so wonderful. It's a reflective light that we have, I'm told, not from the sun, but some other source, and it's always a soft, beautiful life. And the colourings here are so marvellous. We have such wonderful range of colours, and the flowers too. I've been into forests of flowers. I suppose it's the only way you could describe them, where the flowers are enormous and beautiful, give off the most beautiful perfume. Of course, you see, here, although one can pick flowers, one soon learns not to. At first one does, I suppose. It's a habit to do that and put them in the house. But we assume then that it's not the thing to do, for there is life in the flowers, and it is better that they should remain in their own natural surroundings. But when my sister came and brought me those flowers, I asked her about that, and after a long time afterwards, oh, she said they were only thought flowers. They were not the actual flowers. They were thought-created flowers. In other words, I thought of a beautiful bunch of flowers for you, and there they were for you. But it was only temporary, you see. Oh, everything here is so perfect, so beautiful. Perhaps some other time I'll come again and talk to you, but I must go.
Must you go?
I'm afraid I have to go in a moment. They tell me my time is nearly finished.
I didn't ask you.
Did you want to ask me something?
Yes, you said the air was very rarefied. Do you have oxygen over there? Is there oxygen in there?
Oh, I don't know if you call it oxygen, but I call it air. because one's conscious of breathing and conscious of taking in, well, I suppose it must be air of a kind, but it's soup, it's like wine. Ah, this is a perfect world. I have no desire to make any changes. I hope there are no more kinds of dicks. I'm quite happy where I am, although they tell me there are many spheres that one can enter into gradually. It's a matter of evolution, yeah. But I'm quite content. I wouldn't want to move. Anyway, I must go, but my love and blessings to both of you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Mary, very much.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Mickey. Thank you, Doc, very much.